Oh man, there's a Wikipedia entry for Barry.
Really?
Well, just a list of people or places named Barry.
Okay.
See also Barry, B-A-R-R-I-E, or Tropical Storm Barry. Disambiguation? How many fucking tropical? A lot. There have been 1, 2, 3, 4, 5 Tropical Storm Barrys, a Cyclone Barry, and a Hurricane Barry. Now you know some information about tropical storms named Barry.
Are they as big a dick as other things named Barry? Hello, and welcome to I Thought They Smelled Bad on the Outside, a show that has the touch and the power. Yeah.
Yeah!
My name is Scott.
And I'm Justin.
And that's everybody, because I feel like taking it down a little this week. Just playing
this
it cool.
This is what they call a two-hander in podcast land.
Because if you called it something else, it'd be a sexual innuendo.
God knows we wouldn't want that.
God knows. I don't think anyone is thinking of you and I sexually, Justin.
Well, you know, I'm pretty sure that the fanfic has been flying hot and heavy ever since I started guesting on your podcast. So, hey, let them have their fantasies, is what I always say.
I guess. I suppose that is how it works.
But no mind control fantasy, okay? Because that is dangerously close to my uncomfort zone.
And
that's in the danger zone.
And no hurt comfort fic, because that is always shit.
Oh, come on, man. I take my shirt off, you hold me close and make me feel better. Where? Jesus Christ. This can only end in tears.
This will only end in tears. All right, so pick of the week, Justin, go.
Pick of the week, well, I recently got disemployed, so I've had a lot of time to go through Netflix.
Yeah.
I'm really enjoying this great show called Archer.
Yeah, that is some excellent television, I must say.
And I have mainlined that sucker. Basically, I had watched a bunch of the first season, and I'm like, yeah, this is okay, but, you know, oh, it's taken a while. But, you know, it's like, when you have nothing but time, boom! You can mainline it right into your forearm, and it is good.
Have you tracked down a source for season 5?
I haven't. I saw the first episode because they were giving it away free on Xbox Live, but I'm sure I'll be able to find a copy, wink, wink, air quotes, if I want to. But there's plenty of other stuff in my queue to watch, so... I'm a patient man. And season 2 of Orange is the New Black starts soon. And then that is something I've been waiting for since I finished season 1.
That is some exciting Netflixing.
Yay. I love me when Netflix.
Yeah, so...
If you only do one thing while you're unemployed, watch Netflix. Well, if you only do one thing while you're unemployed, look for new jobs. If you do two things, look for new jobs and watch Netflix.
I mean, you can. There are some shows you can just have on in the background while you're scrolling through job listings.
True.
It's called multi-shirking. You combine one productive task with one non-productive task.
Excellent.
It is good for your sanity.
You're like a life coach there, Scott. Thank you very much.
you can accomplish things, Justin. I believe in you.
Woohoo!
And hey, you know what, man? Internet Explorer has the gall to ask to be your default browser. You can ask for anything.
To be deadly honest, I have used Internet Explorer on the time because we were using SharePoint and it worked best with it, but, you know.
Yeah. I mean, if that's how it rolls, that's just how it rolls.
Yeah. I am flexible.
All right.
And you, Scott, what is your pick of the week?
My pick of the week is, you know what? Today's Victoria Day, which means I had to queue up the Kinks Victoria. And then I just kept listening to the Kinks all afternoon. So my pick is going to the Kinks. Excellent late 60s Britishness.
Excellent. To this day, you know, I'm going to just check something to make sure I'm not just shooting my mouth off here. There was one of my favorite movies of all time is this little thing called Hot Fuzz.
Yes.
And they had a song on their soundtrack titled The Village Green Preservation Society by the Kinks. I was always very upset you couldn't find that in Canada on MP3, but it looks like iTunes now carries it, which makes me stupidly happy. I will now buy a copy of The Kinks Are the Village Green Preservation Society.
Always good. All right, so last time around, we were kind of down on DC and their movie division for being, well, just dumb. So now we're going to probably continue that. We're going to be nice to comics, but probably not very nice to DC because how many days has it been since they have done something stupid? Let's check, shall we? 19 days. That's actually not bad.
That's a pretty good run for them. Yeah. Has DC done something stupid today.com is the go-to site for finding out if DC has done something stupid today.
They missed one, though. Like, I dispute their the 41 days record, because right in the middle of that, there was a convention appearance in which they basically only gave that where they had a bunch of questions, and they kind of shut down any question, any hardball question, really, especially when it came to women working for them or how they write women. Instead, electing to give prizes out to people who ask the same old softball questions everyone is sick of actually hearing.
Well, that's unfortunate.
Yeah.
I always heard DC had a very good selection of female creators and characters. I mean, I honestly haven't read a single one of their books since they did their Renew thing.
Yeah, and that's really been the problem lately is, you know, they used to have a lot of good characters, and now it's like, oh, God, what did you do to Starfire?
What'd they do to Starfire?
She's not wearing any clothes, and she doesn't... She's some sort of weird goldfish where she doesn't remember anything and just...
Well, she always used to not wear a lot of clothes. I mean, wearing clothes has never been a huge thing that Starfire did.
No, but now it's even less. Like, apparently the only armor she needs is over her shoulders and nipples, and she just randomly offers to have sex with people.
Well, I mean, she's an alien. They have different cultures.
Yeah, no.
I don't know how the Tamaranian emotional relationships go. Maybe they're like Bajorans. Not Bajorans. What was Counselor Troy?
Betazoids. That's Betazoids. The line. I'm going to leave that silence in just so someone just so the real Trekkies can yell at us for that for that 12 seconds.
Give them that shout. What do you mean? They're Betazoids. Looks out of Troy. She made me a man.
That is a weird comment. But yeah, basically this whole episode came about when I realized, oh man, Justin and I are reading the exact same books.
We would like each other's, you know, Goodreads posts on Facebook.
And then it's like, oh, yeah, we're
just
reading...
sort of the 21st century nerd equivalent of, oh, are you reading Firestorm? I'm reading Firestorm too. You like Firestorm? I like Firestorm. Wow, Firestorm's cool.
Yeah, that's kind of it.
Do they still have Firestorm?
I think Firestorm is still a thing. I'm pretty sure they did some weird stuff with the reboot. I know.
I think he was black for a while, which is cool.
Yeah. Oh God.
I'm of the strong opinion that I think that if you think a character shouldn't be made into a colored person, I'm glad you found a hill to die on. I think that they should. I think every character should be made black for at least one day in their lives just to piss off a certain segment of the comics fandom.
Yeah. Yeah, no, I'm all for this. Or alternately Muslim, because,
yes.
You know.
Have you read the new Ms. Marvel? Because I was waiting for the trade.
I'm waiting for the trade on that. I am excited. Like, the things I hear and see about it make me excited for the new Ms. Marvel.
When did Carol Danvers become a big thing?
What happened was Marvel and DC settled some legal hash over who actually got to call their character Captain Marvel and use that as the title.
Sure.
Which is why... A certain other, an 8-year-old boy is now called Shazam. His name is actually Shazam now. butt now. So they were like, hey, let's celebrate by really owning, now that we totally own Captain Marvel, let's launch a new Captain Marvel book. And it was like, we're going to make Miss Marvel, we're going to promote Miss Marvel, give her own book, and you know what, Kelly Sue DeConnick can write it. And then it was really good.
That's an artist, that's a writer who writes a number of comics, and also, in a completely unaffiliated manner, is also married to, what's his face, right?
Yeah, she is married to Matt Fraction, and
yes,
there is basically, as near as I can tell, no actual nepotism or actual crossover in what they do.
Although, to be deadly honest, I would be thrilled if there wasn't, because goddamn, there has to be a lot of nepotism, because it's like a big frat down there at whatever Marvel's headquarters is.
Yeah, it's a little frattish.
Yes, a little frattish. I imagine Brian Michael Bendis with his shirt off spraying people with a bottle of beer. And now that you've had that image in your head...
There's an image.
There's an image you will never outlive.
So, just going down the things that we are both reading. We both really liked Avengers Arena.
Yes. Did you finish it?
I did finish it.
Okay, so did I.
Well, yes, and... You know, I kind of, like, now I hadn't actually followed Runaways or Young Avengers. I just kind of picked it up because it's like, okay, they're using Arcade to riff on Hunger Games and Battle Royale. I am
Which
in.
Which is pretty perfect.
Like, that is spot on.
And I like, apparently they are branching off. Okay, let's pull back before we start looking at where they're going with that.
Yeah.
So, okay, first off, I think you would enjoy Runaways. The first bunch.
Well, I did go back and find the first trade of it, and I liked that a great deal. I didn't realize there was a fucking dinosaur in it, which is usually one of my things that just dinosaurs checkbox. I'm in.
That's one of your sweet spots.
Like it is one of really my sweet spots. Like if it has dinosaurs, I'm like, okay, this is cool now.
I believe we found something interesting here, Captain. But the whole thing is really cool for the audience members who are not listening. Runaways is a Marvel book about a group of kids who discover their parents are supervillains and get together to stop them, and it involves dinosaurs and magic and high technology and overall being badass, and if you meet Buddha on the road, kill the Buddha, and all the good stuff.
All that good stuff.
Young Avengers is just a teen group of superheroes. Right?
It is. It is not Teen Titans.
No.
Yeah.
It's not, I mean, I'm not going to say it's as good as the, you know, early Wolfman Perez Teen Titans, but it's still a very enjoyable series.
I mean, and Wolfman Perez Titans is kind of like, that's one of those things, the fact that we're talking about it 30 years on says a lot.
Yes, that indicates something.
Mostly
no,
that we're
book.
Old.
I mean, none of the characters in it are directly related to the Avenger they are similar to. Except for their giant girl is the daughter of the former Ant-Man. So there are pin particles just lying around the house and she accidentally or intentionally grabs them. It's been a while. But it's a good book. And it and Runaways are good. And I think some of them ended up together in Avengers Academy after the initiative period, after Civil War. Oh, they have a Civil War Young Avengers Runaway book.
Yeah.
Ignore it. It's horrible.
Well, a lot of things that spun off from Civil War were really terrible.
Civil War was a dark time that a lot of people would like to forget.
But they really like the idea of having heroes fight each other.
That's why it happens so often.
Yeah, which does lead us back to Avengers Academy, or yes. Avengers Arena, because
Avengers
we have this...
So in Avengers Arena, they take a whole bunch of the characters from the Runaways, Avengers Academy, and Young Avengers, and start off from there, and some new people from the British equivalent of the Braddock Academy, which were really cool.
And I think two kids from Wolverine's not Xavier School for gifted young people.
Yeah, Armor. The toxic one and a dude who's got also radioactive powers. And no, it's a really good series.
It's a solid book, even without the bigger context you might have from following Young Avengers for a long time. It's just like, hey, it's teenagers on an island killing each other. I like the fact that it sort of wears its influences on its sleeve pretty hard. Like, the logo is Way Catching Fire, and half the covers are pulled from Battle Royale. And I think Arcade even mentions, like,
Battle Royale, so I wasn't aware of that. That's very cool.
Now, Battle Royale is, it's a good, very good novel. You should read it.
I have heard that.
Well, yeah. And
I will put it on my to-read list.
Very well. And it is,
like, literally, I'm doing that right now.
Okay.
Ding.
And I like the fact that you even have Arcade just saying, hey, totally even just hanging lampshade. It's like, I stole the idea from a kid's book.
Yeah.
Isn't this fun? And I'm
Arcade is a good way to set off a storyline, or at least, you know, a good way to put a heroes in danger and not have to say, why is someone doing this? Because it's Arcade.
He's just Arcade. He doesn't need reasons.
That's how he rolls.
And, you know, I like the way the characters behave in the situation. It just doesn't escalate into a bloodbath. It's like, okay, the one who has secretly been evil is messing things up, and there are legitimate, understandable misunderstandings between some people. And
yes,
things go bad, and then the survivors...
The one reason I would suggest reading some of the prior books is because there are like a dozen characters.
Oh, yeah, there are like 16 characters. I'm like, I am glad... I got glad around... In the second trade when half of them died, because I'm like, okay, less things to keep track of.
It's deep. I mean, this is a book that really would be served well reading it in some sort of linkable format. Who is this guy again? Click. Although that might make things a bit too easy.
Yeah.
A lot of the fun comes in learning as you go.
There are some characters where you learn as you go, and that is fun. But even just... This is a thing Comixology needs to do, is pop-up video Ed notes,
yeah.
Where, like, I can just sort of click a face, and it'll tell me who the fuck is that.
I will say that this is a sign Hopeless did a really good job, because it would have been so easy for this to be just a pure mess. Like, you know, 500 cc's of pure what the hell's going on and who are these people. Because, you know, the fact that each character seems individual and interesting enough that you want to look at them is a really, really, really good thing.
Very true. I won't spoil the ending, but I do like it.
Yes.
I do like how it shakes out. There is apparently a follow-up series with the survivors doing adventuresome things that I should probably check out.
I believe it actually leads out of it. They're trying to find out, okay, what? Who did this? Why did they do this? Let's hurt them. And, you know, I am all in favor of that. And I like that it was a limited story.
Like, that, it set out, they said 18 issues, and they did those 18, and you can stop there.
Yeah. It's very good. And, man, Death Locket is just adorable, isn't it?
Yeah. Death Locket is awesome. Way more awesome than J. August Richards.
We're not going to talk about Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D.
Later. Different episode. It'll happen.
Alrighty then. But I am going to be getting... I read it purely in trade. I had my local comics guy said it was a very good book, so I'm like, I will read this in trade. And thankfully, it did well enough that they were able to do the full series in trade.
Which is always... It is always a question in doubt.
Yeah. If you're reading books in trade, it's like waiting for the DVD to come out of a TV show. It's like, you know, will they realize I am interested in waiting, or are they just going to pull the plug and try not to lose any more money? Problems of the 21st century.
21st century problems.
Yes, Avengers Arena. Very good. Everyone read it.
Yes, go read that. What else am I picking up right now? Let's go with Saga, because I think that's the big... That is the critical darling right now.
Yeah.
And for
Saga
good reason.
Is a great book.
It is a great story.
Once again, Brian K. Vaughan, who just writes really awesome comic books, or graphic novels, or whatever you want to call them.
Did you
read Why the Last Man, by the way?
I have. That is something that I'm always like, I should get to that. And then I'm like, man, that's a lot of pages.
Worth it. It is a great read.
I have to sort of abandon that mentality sometimes and just dive in. Just go.
I'm sure they'll have a sale on Comixology someday.
I know. That'll be what happened. That'll be how it works.
Actually, you know what you should do?
What?
What we should do is we should discuss the Amazon purchase and the changes to Comixology near this.
Okay. This. Well, yes. That'll be a thing that comes up. Huh? But yes, Saga is the story of two star-crossed lovers.
Literally.
Literally, because it's in space.
They're in space.
And two houses, both alike in...
indignity.
Indignity. From Ancient Grudge. The Ancient Grudge being that, well, one has magic and the other is like, we have science.
Although really, it's probably the same thing. Your ancestors called it magic. We call it science.
Yeah, there is some Clark's Third Law going on, especially with that tree rocket ship.
Oh, it's just a great show. It starts, it's told in flashback by a woman. I assume,
yep.
I don't know how old she is at this point. But basically, the start of the story is her being born.
Yes.
And her parents, as we said, are, you know, two soldiers on opposite sides of a war. And literally, you know, they have just cut the cord when... some MPs from her army show up to arrest them, and then some MPs from his army show up to arrest him, and madness happens.
It is just madness and chasing and killing dudes and dealing
bounty
with
bounty hunters and cats that know when you're lying.
I gotta say, the bounty hunters in Saga might be my favorite bounty hunters ever.
They are awesome.
That they are awesome.
Awesome.
I mean, Lion Cat is equally awesome.
Yes.
Because, you know, there's something to be said about cats that can tell when you are not telling the truth.
I'm pretty sure that Lion Cat is a big hit on the Tumblrs.
I'm afraid to look at the Tumblrs to see, but I'm sure this is true.
I'm going to go search for Lion Cat on Tumblr. Lion Cat.
Famous last words.
It's all pictures of cats lying down. Oh, here's a picture of Lion Cat. Someone seems to have drawn it. A picture of Daredevil saying, Lion Cat says lying, try again. So apparently Daredevil is reading Saga. That's pretty cool.
That's all right. Daredevil's got to do something.
Someone has done The Will and Lion Cat as Calvin and Hobbes.
I think okay. there needs to be a new rule of the internet that inevitably... two character, any duo will eventually be reimagined as Calvin and Hobbes. It's like steampunk reimaginings. Enough times and it will happen.
Really, it's not a bad comparison. They're a good baseline to which things can be compared.
That is true. Calvin Hobbes is just really good, so I'm not gonna credit anyone.
You will not begrudge anyone the desire to make something look like Calvin and Hobbes.
Yeah.
But yes. So yeah, he looks pretty popular on the Tumblrs. Lots of pictures of him. And then strolls down to general Saga stuff. So yes. Lying. You're lying to yourself, kid. Lying to yourself.
And that's really what I think Lion Cat brings to the Will. Is he is a guy who does lie to himself a lot. And he checks his bullshit.
Yeah. Oh my god, someone did The Will and Lion Cat with Garfield and John.
total tangent, but have you seen Garfield minus John plus John, where they replace John Arbuckle with Dr. Manhattan?
That is something I have not seen.
It's kind of brilliant. But yeah, Saga, I am digging... Just the design of everything and the look and the feel of this crazy setting.
Flying trees, crazy writers, ex-girlfriends with laser beams.
Laser beams with ex-girlfriends, yes.
Yes.
Royalty with TVs for heads.
Yeah.
I'm not sure if that's a commentary on something. I feel that is somehow satirical.
In all likelihood.
I'm not sure of what, but I dig that design. I liked it in Fooly Cooly. I like it here.
Yeah, no, there is, if you could take one thing away from this podcast, is that Saga is an awesome book and you need to read it.
You do need to read it.
Yeah.
It's pretty awesome.
And I see we both read Saga of the Swamp Thing, or at least the first book.
Yeah, like I picked that, again, Comixology sale.
Milton Public Library.
Yeah, I'm not sure. Maybe that particular run of Swamp Thing has a massive reputation, and maybe that comes in later. But right now, I'm just like, I'm not sure what this is. This is really slow and not.
What part are you at? I think we can eschew worries about spoilers because it is a 20-some-year-old book.
Yeah. Well, I finished the first trade.
Okay.
So it's like okay. So we've established that he is not. Oh, I apparently picked up the second one. Oh no, the first one. This is just how the weird Goodreads labeling thing works. But no, I finished.
Okay, so it starts with the anatomy lesson, which is literally, oh my god. Well, you know, the core of it is, you know, it starts by saying, yes, you thought you were the scientist who got hurt in an accident, and but you're not. That scientist has been dead.
You're just a pile of plants. Who thought he was a scientist?
And it goes on from there. It goes on with the world that he lives in, and you know.
I think the supporting characters weren't gelling with me, and the main character just kind of sits there and mopes about being a pile of leaves that thinks it's a scientist.
It picks up a lot from there. It is pretty damn good. Did you get the DC Comics Presents where Superman gets infected with Kryptonian brain madness?
I don't think I got that one. No.
That's a good story.
Well, Kryptonian brain madness is always a good start to a story.
Now, was it the one where the Justice League is trying to figure out how to stop the Floronic Man after he starts turning, basically removing mammals from the planet by just making plants go crazy?
Yeah, that was it.
That was a good story.
That is good stuff.
It was very much, you know, basically he was like, all right, I'm dealing with the DC universe, and these are these superheroes, and whatever I do, these superheroes have to respond to it. And later on he's like, ah, fuck them. I don't need these superheroes. Look, I've got a guy in a trench coat. This guy in a trench coat will be the impetus for stories. And it goes on crazy from there. The best stuff happens. There's the American Gothic storyline, and he goes back to hell, which is cool. I don't think the one you read had the storyline where he goes to hell, does it?
No, I'm sure that's later in the next one or something.
That was epic. That was like the first time I ever read something that made me realized there were writers who cared about stapling the universe together and making it seem like a whole organic thing, which is weird because you don't think of Moore as that until you realize this is the guy who wrote League of Extraordinary Gentlemen,
which
is all about making this stuff together. You know, deep down, Alan Moore and Kurt Busiek and Roy Thomas, they're all like guys who remember reading letter columns and trying to figure out how stuff works together, as you know. But then Alan Moore became a chaos magician.
Yeah.
And part-time pornographer.
Part-time. So, other things we are reading that are cool is Dark Horse's Just Plain Star Wars.
I was thrown. Honestly, the second trade, I'm like, I don't know where this is going.
See,
I actually got to see an issue that comes along later where Darth Vader is trying to hunt down a Imperial traitor. And I'm like, okay, I'm torn. Because, you know. It's a bit of an investment to buy a trade because you think it might be good. Because the first one, I reread it, and it seems it's not as... There's bits that don't seem to really hold together very well, but otherwise it's a really good Star Wars story.
And for those who don't know, the Dark Horse is Just Plain Star Wars is, hey, let's just take the three characters people actually like and start right after A New Hope and have rebels running around doing rebel shit.
Yeah.
And that is it.
I'm disappointed because I don't think I've seen Jackson in it. And
well, you know, Jackson is always a tricky thing because, you know, he is a giant rabbit, which does make him awesome.
He's a giant green rabbit in a Magnificent Seven storyline.
Yeah.
If you can't love that, I don't know.
You know, that is the tricky part. And... you know, maybe down the line Jackson will show up. Maybe Jackson will show up in the Rebels cartoon series.
That would be awesome.
Because that would be awesome. But it is always tricky when... It is always difficult business introducing a giant green rabbit into your Star Wars storyline. I'm surprised...
Giant green rabbits have to be handled carefully.
I'm surprised it wasn't in Knights of the Old Republic. He wasn't in Knights of the Old Republic or Legacy somehow. Because those books... seemed like they would go and have just a giant green rabbit.
Yes. Giant green rabbits should have been DLC for Knights of the Old Republic.
Yes. Definitely. Agreed.
Although apparently a friend of mine reread Knights of the Old Republic.
Mm-hmm.
And his overall impression was... I mean, replayed Knights of the Old Republic, and his impression was, does not age well.
It has a lot of... Knights of the Old Republic has a bunch of earmarks of bio-awareness that... don't necessarily hold up, like, you know, like even now where you're like, Oh man, Mass Effect 3. Let's do a conversation that's shot reverse shot where Shepard stands there and leans on a thing. Let's go back and forth on that for a while.
I could honestly play the multiplayer Mass Effect 3 stuff for a bit more.
It was really good multiplayer.
Yes.
I'm not sure if I would have bought it if had they gone ahead and released it as a standalone thing like they were initially planning, but as part of 3, I'm happy.
Even though it would have actually, you know, that was a product that deserved. It could have been a standalone product, but I think everyone was like, we want Mass Effect, we want Shepard. We want Garrus and Tally and all of our friends. We want to fight the aliens.
Yeah. All right. So the other thing I'm keeping up on in comics land is East of West. Are you reading this?
No.
You should read this.
Okay.
It's a book by John Hickman.
Oh, right there. You've got me.
That's one point. And the other point is it is an alternate history, apocalyptic Western. The main character is Death.
Hickman. All right, Hickman. You're on my want-to-read list. I adore his stuff. It is so good. Oh, man. There's like 5, 6... Are those individual issues or trades?
Those are issues. There are only 2 trades.
Oh, jeez. Oh, I thought there is so much catching up. All right, so I will get The Promise and We Are All One.
Yes, because you know what? Death is riding across the land trying to stop the apocalypse because he, well, fuck those other horsemen and, you know, fuck the people.
Pestilence always struck me as the kind of guy, we have a job to do, man. And Death's all like, screw that shit.
Well, it's like he's you know, he's got a wife and a kid and he's got issues with them and he's got to sort those out and then maybe the world can end, but probably not.
He is so greedy.
And we were getting into things that are always instant sells. I love nerd-troped Westerns so much.
Well, yeah. I mean, that is the good stuff.
That is the good stuff. All right.
Deadlands, of course, has issues.
Deadlands has issues. Mostly that someone on that writing team still thinks it's horror.
Well, just the whole, you know, can we not be, you know, I think you're being a bit easy on the Confederacy there, guys. In other words,
they did their best to write around it, but I feel like, yeah, maybe.
You have to acknowledge there may have been some problems with how they handled themselves. I'm just saying.
Just saying. Maybe.
And we both like Empowered.
Yes, but that I'm saving that for an entirely different episode.
Right, you had mentioned the special. And we both thought All-Star Batman and Robin was total shit.
Well, because it was.
It was so bad.
Are you reading Manhattan Projects?
I am not.
Okay, this is another... Well, it's another Hickman book.
Yes.
And this case, we have the Manhattan Project, you know... Union of the best scientists in America during World War II.
Right.
Decide that apparently creating the atomic bomb was just kind of a cover for much more advanced, scary science. Scary science. Although if fairies show up, I would not be surprised. We've got alternate universes. We've got some fighting space aliens. We've got... evil alternate universe Einstein. Oppenheimer has multiple personalities of all the people he eats. Yes, he eats people.
Of course. Now, does he have a special ability that allows him to eat people, or is it just
he
takes his time?
He takes his time. He is a cannibal. He is an old-fashioned cannibal.
Okay.
And it is just crazy. And you have Laika, the super intelligent Cosmo dog, and her faithful human, Yuri Gargan. Cosmonaut.
Okay. did you read Guardians of the Galaxy? Annihilation series?
I did not. Is this something I should be looking at?
Oh God, yes. Because you mentioned Laika, the Cosmo dog, and they actually have a cosmonaut dog in Cosmo, who is telepathic and telekinetic, who is the sheriff of a community called Nowhere, which is located in a severed celestial head floating in space.
Okay.
And he speaks telepathically with Russian accent.
Well, yes, he is Cosmo Dog.
Yes, and it is an excellent series. It was a lot of fun. So, yes, he was it was very cool. So if you get the chance, check out the pretty much all the Guardians of the Galaxy stuff since Annihilation, and Annihilation in general. I think we may have discussed that.
I think it came up.
I don't think you loved it. I suspect that may have been part of the conversation.
Yeah, I think it. I was not too keen on it.
It hit me in that spot where, you know, they take all the stuff that exists and put it together, and I am a big fan of that. So the original Annihilation started off a little slow, but it really picked up after a while. And Annihilation Conquest, which is the second series, was a delight. They do neat stuff with Nova. They do neat stuff with, like, the Silver Surfer and the other Heralds of Galactus. They do neat stuff with Quasar and Moondragon, who I think were dating for a while. All the good stuff. So, yes, if you get the chance, you know, if Comixology has it on sale, which they probably will with the movies coming up.
They keep highlighting it, but they don't actually put it on sale. It's like a featured title, but not a discount title.
I think iTunes has pretty much spoiled us, because we're like, 99 cents seems like a good price to pay for anything.
Well, no. Like I resent that they charge full price for digital books when I don't actually own them.
Yes.
But I'm fine with the discount rate that comes around about 2 months after, and obviously the bundled versions are even a better deal. And then 99 cents, you're just like, well, I can't say no to that. Let's buy 30.
And I want to know why the heck you cannot buy an Amazon gift card in a gas station.
That seems weird.
It does.
Like, they have all the other gift cards, right?
Yes. But not Amazon. And I would buy a lot of... I mean, you can buy friggin'... what the heck is that company that does, like, Groupon? You can buy Groupon gift certificates.
What?
In your gas station. Yeah.
Amazon, you're dropping the ball here.
Amazon, get on it. Amazon. I mean, I know you can buy them in the States, but you can buy everything in the States.
Yeah.
They're insane. Americans talk about the Japanese, like, can you buy if you can buy this and this and this? And we talk about, can you buy if you can buy that in America? Can you buy a gift certificate for Amazon? And it's like, well, sure, that just makes sense. And then there's all their damn, what do you call them? Cereals you can buy there that you can't get here.
Yeah. Even just flavors of Coke. Like, I know, yeah. I know we have both opined the vanilla Coke, the situation where you cannot get cherry vanilla Coke Zero. Or any of
unless
the...
you go to Hero Burger.
Unless you go to a Hero Burger or a movie theater.
Yes. Wait, there are movie theaters with the magic box?
Yes, movie theaters have the magic box.
Okay, because none of the ones I go to do.
Okay, like most of the ones in the city do.
Oh, in the city. Well, in the city, I should go there and buy me some soda pop.
For too damn much, but enjoy the 100 points on your scene card. Yeah.
Yeehaw.
So other things we are reading right now, Rat Queens.
Rat Queens is very enjoyable.
That is hella fun.
It is ball-kickingly, face-punchingly fantasy.
I'm
looking for the actual adjective. I dropped a bunch of adverbs, forgot an adjective.
Well,
basically, it's about an adventuring party for women who have the personalities of people who would join an adventuring party.
Yeah, with a little bit of postmodernism in there, because you do have, you know, there's a couple of hipsters, just gonna say.
Yeah.
Like, that dwarf chick, pretty fucking hipster.
Yeah. She shaved her beard, and then her twin brother shows up.
But no, Rat Queens is hella fun. It is definitely, it is D&D the way it actually feels at the table, rather than the D&D that the novels try to convey to you.
Yes, the standard fantasy versus that perfect little Tolkien-esque thing.
Yeah, I want to see a lot more of this. Like, yeah. I will continue to buy this book for a very long time, and hopefully there are spinoffs. Probably, I want more of the Four Daves.
Yes.
Because that sounds, again, that is exactly a D&D group. Four characters, all named Dave.
Well, I actually wanted to one time play in a game where everyone was a fighter of some kind. That's like all having the same name.
You know, it is very similar in some games. I mean, not quite as much. Character class is not quite a substitute for name the way race is elf. But yes. There you go.
It is a good book, and you people reading this will love it.
And again, it does that thing where it kills off half the cast right away so you can keep track of everyone.
Yeah. That was very handy. But, I mean, it starts with four adventuring parties, and they're all fairly distinct.
Like, they have a group identity.
They have a quirk. Like, you've got the Rat Queens, who are four characters who are very different. But they're still fighter, rogue, wizard, cleric, atheist, cleric. And then you have the four Daves, who are four guys named Dave. And then you have the goth dudes.
Who all get wiped out. And then you have the Peaches, which are also four women, but they seem to have a uniform thing going on, but half of them die.
Yeah, and it's very red-blooded, let me just say that.
Yeah, that there is drinking and fucking and enjoying yourself and, you know.
Tonight we drink, for tomorrow we will probably be shadowed by an ogre.
Yeah, and they fight an army of, you know, an ogre and her army, and it's like, it's awesome.
It is quite, yeah. It's a good book, and everyone should read it.
What ended up winning the Eisner this year? I know it was not. This one was nominated, as was Saga, and I think East of West.
Last year, you mean?
Or 2014?
2014 gets awarded at San Diego.
Okay, so it's nominated right now, and I hope.
Okay.
And there are a few things. There are some very good things up for Eisners.
Saga won last year.
Yeah, so it could win again.
Yeah. Ryan North's Adventure Time won Best Publication for Kids. All sorts of stuff. So, yeah.
Yeah.
Vaughn for Saga. Are you reading Hawkeye, by the way?
I am reading Hawkeye. I'm reading Hawkeye.
Hawkeye? Yes.
Bro.
I want to dress up as one of the Russian gangster dudes.
Now we need to get a group to dress up as Russian gangster dudes and just hope we run into a Hawkeye. Like, not even plan to have one guy be Hawkeye, just all show up in tracksuits.
No, just be... Oh, come on, there will be like 30 Hawkeyes, half of them hot gals.
Yeah.
You know, which is cool, and it's awesome. Or they'll just dress up as, you know, you got some Hawkeyes, you got some Kates, and it all works together. Just can't find a place where anyone would allow a pizza dog to come into the venue.
Oh, pizza dog.
Pizza dog. Did you read the Pizza Dog issue, where it's just all told from Pizza Dog's point of view?
I have read. I've gotten to that issue, yes.
That is such a good issue.
That is so good.
Oh, come on. Hawkeye is...
This book is better than any Hawkeye book deserves to be.
That's true. I mean, Hawkeye is a neat character. He works well on a team, but he's, you know, he's good on his own. But this does some really cool stuff with him.
I like how sort of quiet and small it is. Like, it is not... While he's not hanging out with the Avengers, Hawkeye is also a badass super spy. It's like, Hawkeye accidentally adopts a building full of people because he wanted to beat up some Russian gangsters.
And, have you read any of the new Avengers books?
I have not read any...
Marvel Now.
No, because there's so many, and I'm like,
There's a lot.
There's a lot of things, and I'm like, these could be mildly interesting, or I could follow these for a long time and be disappointed.
I have been, for the longest time, a Marvel zombie. I read Ohotmu when I was a child, like a person in seminary school reads their Bible, and they're Aquinas. So, you know, I liked the Marvel Universe. I liked all the things that were in it, which is why anyone who can take all that stuff and weave it together is, you know, one of my favorite creative types. So, you know, Marvel is my thing. And I have read several of the Avengers series that are out now. Mighty Avengers is the one where it's all people of color.
Which is nifty. You
know, Luke Cage starts his own team.
Again.
He's a community organizer.
He is. I mean, he's reassembled the Heroes for Hire like 5 times now.
Yes.
I don't know why they keep breaking up. I mean... Well, obviously,
really,
because
I don't think
no
he's
one
reassembling it so much as, you know, he's the only consistent hero who is for hire. And then Danny goes off and punches things, and he comes back, and then he goes away. And then you get the Daughters of the Dragon showing up, and they sort of take over for a while. And then they go off on another project, or the book gets canceled, and he shows up. But no, Mighty Avengers is very good. They even did a bit about Falcon, where he shows up, and somebody says, "Oh, that's cool, is Captain America coming?" He's like, "My first name is not Captain America, and, okay?"
I like Falcon. I like that he is always trying to figure out how to not just be Captain America's sidekick.
Yes.
I really hope he gets a good costume one of these years, though.
Yes. The cinematic universe had a nice take on it.
Well, that was just like that was just fatigues, really.
It was a military uniform, you know, so.
I mean, it fit for the movie, but I'm like, something a little more costumey.
Yeah, something super heroic.
But not necessarily the red and yellow spangled thing that he normally seems to be wearing.
No, that is a uniform that may have worked well in the late 70s.
I don't think it worked well in the late 70s, but it was Marvel, so they did a lot of questionable costume choices. Thinking back to Luke Cage.
Good to see a character, you know, you get the non-white character, you're like, hey, he's a guy who isn't just another white guy. That's great. And you'll forgive a lot.
Yeah.
Perhaps in this day, it's less scraps from the table and more well-written stuff. For example, they brought back Monica Rambeau. I can't remember what her current name is.
Oh, God, what is she now? She's gone through a lot of names.
She's Spectrum now.
Okay.
And she also, you know, uses her neat superpowers in all the fun ways. And she's the field leader of the Mighty Avengers. So that's cool.
That is cool.
And Wikipedia is like, you know, do you want to know who's on the team? Well, F you. We're not going to provide that useful information.
There's a lot of people listed on this team.
There's a guy who shows up at the beginning and they don't say who he is. And at the point I'm at, I still don't know who they are. But he shows up in a off-brand Spider-Man costume, which is very funny.
Okay.
But Mighty Avengers is good. Uncanny Avengers is sort of a combination X-Men Avengers book. Also very good. Havoc is the leader, and Cap and Wolverine and Thor and Rogue and Scarlet Witch are all on the team. And the first story starts off with the Red Skull stealing Professor Xavier's brain.
Oh, man. Don't steal Professor Xavier's brain. He needs that. He needs that if he's ever going to come back from the dead.
His space girlfriend will clone him.
He will not need that brain.
He'll not need that brain. Someone else will make another brain. But Uncanny Avengers is very good. And as of the end of the last trade, the Celestials destroyed the planet.
That's right.
Full stop. And I'm looking at it like, oh, well, can't wait to find out where this goes from here. The other Avengers book I'm also reading is Hickman's Avengers. I think it's Hickman.
And that is just like Avengers, right?
Yeah. Right. And basically, you know, it's very cool. It's got a global Avengers team, and they mostly, you know, they go to the moon and fight aliens. And they also go to Canada and fight aliens who've come from, Mars. They had the one issue where they... He basically introduced Omega Flight, and, you know, it's like, what? They're back? As a superhero team. And, you know, then he just left them there, and someone's like, okay, I guess someone will come back and take care of this later.
Oh, jeez.
But,
Omega Flight really gets shat on.
Oh. They get rough days. They get rough days. But he brings in all the stuff from the new universe. So that was very cool. I was really hoping there'd be a Spitfire in the Troubleshooters, but that seems to be omitted. I was hoping there'd be Justice, but that didn't seem to show up. So, but, you know, there is Nightmask and Starbrand and all the fun stuff. So, yeah, I liked what he did. You know, he once again wove all disparate pieces together, which is something I always adore. So that's three Avengers books I'm reading. So,
of the, I think, what, five, six now?
Yeah. It's entirely possible I will read Avengers World, you know, just because. And apparently the X-Men have gone completely crazy again. It's just completely nuts. I got tricked into buying this Battle of the Atom book.
Oh.
Well, not tricked. It looked neat, so I bought it. But apparently there are like three X-Men teams. One of them's from the future. One of them's from the present. One of them is the original five brought forward in time from the past.
That's tricky.
Yeah. It is very messed up, but it was a neat story. We moved all around, and thank God I have 30-some years of Marvel trivia embedded into places where useful information should go, because I was able to catch on after a while. But just like Arena, I think it would have benefited from a Wikipedia.
That needs the pop-up video version.
Yeah. This is blank, or is it? Oh, stop it. I think that was actually written by Bendis, who I tend to be very lukewarm on. But this was an interesting book. So yeah, that was a good job for him. Well done, BMB. I had dinner with him once.
Really?
Well, it wasn't so much dinner as I was sitting at the same table as him, eating, you know, trying to stave off exhaustion long enough to shovel carbohydrates and proteins into my mouth while he was talking to people on his BlackBerry.
Yeah.
So, yeah.
That's right up there with my lunch with Jim Butcher.
Excellent.
Where I went to a con he was at and then wandered into the bar and accidentally got seated at the table next to him and a bunch of the other guests. And I had to sit there and try to play it cool the whole time.
Oh, BarCon is the best thing.
Yeah.
That's what I adore about, you know, a more casually sized convention. Because you can just wander into the bar and, you know, end up just shooting the shit with New York Times bestselling author Jim Butcher or Ed Greenwood or any of those guys.
See, the only time I really should have lost my cool when I found out he was sitting with the woman who edited the Dresden Files role-playing game. Because I'm like, that is much more impressive than creating Dresden Files.
Well, that's practically a miracle, to be deadly honest.
Like, every story I hear about creating that game is like, that must have been an editing hellhole. I should give you a high five and a scotch for that.
Yeah, it can be hard. For example, one time I found out I was talking to one of the guys who was a set designer for Serenity. And so he said, oh, yes, that's you. Have you seen it? Like, yeah, I got to see the preview. What did you think of thing at the end? And I was like, we all kind of just grabbed our teeth and cried. So it was a good. Yeah, I guess.
Other things I am reading right now is The Unwritten.
Good book.
It's a fine book.
The Unwritten is basically, what if Harry Potter was written by a guy who had a son named Harry Potter?
And both of those guys were giant dicks?
Yes.
But they still have to fight an evil wizard?
Evil wizards are the worst.
Evil wizards are the worst.
So I see you read Delilah Dirk and the Turkish Lieutenant.
That is freaking amazing. I love it. I want more.
I liked it, but I kept swinging back and forth. I wasn't sure what setting it was in, how fantastic it was supposed to be.
Well, I kind of like, well, you get, the thing is that it gets increasingly more fantastic when Delilah's around.
Yeah.
Which I think is just part of the tone and part of how that the lieutenant sees her. But no, that book is hella fun.
I couldn't quite, you know, it's like, it seemed to be a lot more fantastic when she was involved, as opposed to being a very fantastical setting all around. Not that was bad. It just, you know, it was like a big pony that you had to ride. So, what else? Astro City, the new series, is pretty good.
I still have to catch up and really finish off the old series before I get into the new one.
I'm trying to remember. Shining Stars is what it's called. Shining Stars was the last compilation. Can't remember what the most recent one was called. Nope. It was a good one. It was all about a variety of things happening, you know, there's an overarching storyline being woven in behind it, but you got lots of new things in the front, which is good. I just recently read, not recently, a while ago, but I've never talked about it with anyone, Common Grounds. Have you ever read that?
No.
You've probably seen some of it on the Imagers or the Tumblrs.
See, those are not things I'm usually on.
They're not?
No, I'm not.
Well, people link to them. You know, basically, it's about a coffee house where superheroes hang out.
All right.
And it's pretty good. And you know, you get a variety of stories getting told. Like, there's one story. I'm not going to give it away because some of them are just built with really good twists in them. So there's some good stories in there, and there's some stories about, you know, legacy heroes, and there's some stories about. There's an entire issue told about a bunch of underpants monsters who were hiding out in the wilderness trying to figure out what to do with their lives. Are you familiar with underpants monsters?
I think so.
You know, all the aliens from all the old Kirby sci-fi stories? You know, the Fin Fang Foom and all those guys, the thumb thing that walks like a man?
Yeah, those guys.
All those guys. You know, basically they all end up out in the woods, and, you know, the Common Grounds guys bring them out giant donuts and tanker trucks full of coffee. Because, you know, monsters need Java too. But it's a good book. If you want, I can bring it to game this week and you can take a look at it.
All right. other things I'm following. I picked up the first trade of Gail Simone's run of Red Sonja.
Cool.
It sure was Red Sonja.
Yeah.
Which I'm fine with.
Did she go around, how did she get around the problematic aspects of Red Sonja's origin story?
Honestly, that just kind of gets glossed over in favor of sort of telling this story about, you know, Red sort of coming up through the gladiator pits with another girl, and then she gets rescued, but the other girl doesn't, and then it all comes back in bitter revenge sort of story. And okay. Then the rapiness just doesn't come up.
Good. Because, you ever read Xenophile?
Yes, I did. I did read Xenophile.
They did a story with
the Blue Opal.
Yes, that was a good. Okay, good is a one way of putting it.
It's one way to put Xenophile.
They dealt with that aspect of it in a unique way and got to the fucking.
Yes.
So well done, Phil Folio. Have you ever read Girl Genius?
I was reading. I read until I was reading it, the web version, until I caught up, and then I was like, this is less fun now that I have to wait for it, you know, a page at a time.
Webbed comics can be troublesome.
That is very true.
Just realized I'm behind on Order of the Stick. I should go see how they're doing.
They're doing sticky things.
Yes, they're doing stick stuff. They're traveling around. But yes. Oh, you see the trailer for Guardians of the Galaxy, the movie?
Yeah, I have seen that.
Yes. The one that came out today?
Yes. Where Vin Diesel speaks.
Yes. I am Groot. I want to see this. This movie looks good.
It does look good. I can't think if there's any other comics I am reading right now that I'm not holding back for other episodes. Which I don't know if that's the case.
Empowered. Sorry.
Empowered. Yes. Empowered will happen.
Empowered will happen. Saga is beautiful. We both liked Iron Fist.
Oh, yeah. Iron Fist, because, again, Comixology sale.
Yes.
Well, that was fortuitously timed where it was like, hey, get the first trade for half off. And then a month later, it's like, do you want to buy the rest of it at 99 cents an issue? Yes, I would.
Oh, stop twisting my arm.
Don't twist my arm. Immortal Iron Fist is hella fun. That's a lot of kung fu.
It is a great kung fu action story. Lots of really cool stuff. All love. We both read Mouse, and we both loved it. By which... Okay, loved.
Well, Mouse. Honestly, I think if you rate Mouse less than like 3 stars, someone will call you a Nazi.
Well, I mean, it is such an incredible book, you know. In spite of being, wow,
yeah,
it was like, you know,
it's rough to read, man.
He works hard, you know. If it was about any other circumstance for his father, the relationship between father and son would be the most upsetting thing in the book.
But no.
That was, you know, Spiegelman and his dad had a great set of tension there. But yes, you know, that is a classic. That is on the list of everyone has to read for understanding the medium. Have you read Understanding Comics?
You know, I have not actually picked up any of the Scott McCloud things. But just jumping back to Iron Fist for one second.
Sure.
For the Netflix thing, just cast an Asian guy as Danny Rand. I would like that.
Complain.
I would like that. You can still have him be an American, but please have him be an Asian guy. There's something not entirely comfortable about the Iron Fist origin.
It's a bit, oh, yeah, here's the white guy who is the best warrior in the city. Well, that's
fine and dandy.
I actually bought the Iron Fist Masterworks a few months ago, and it's one of the things I'm going to start tearing into now that I have copious free time. So, yes. I look forward to reading through this sucker and getting some more fun out of it.
See, there's part of me that is tempted by the Marvel Unlimited service.
I mean, what's the rate on that? Is it like an annual thing? Is it a monthly thing?
I think it's like 9 monthly, but if you pay for the whole year, it's slightly cheaper overall.
Yeah.
Like, if there's going to be a point where I have copious free time, and I'm like, you know what? I am going to read all the Spider-Man. Good day.
Yeah. A friend of mine is actually reading all of the X-Men, and he just hit the 90s.
Oh, man. That's when things got really nuts.
Yeah. Oh, son, what are you going to do?
He says it is grown hard. You know, it's not. It has grown more difficult to read. But, you know, he's hopefully going to hit the Age of Apocalypse and find some wackiness there to help him break through.
Very true.
But one of the benefits is if you get to, you know, if you get the Marvel thing, you hit a bad chunk, just read something else.
You just
read all the Alpha Flight you can handle.
All the Alpha Flight. You could read some Deadpool.
Yeah. All the excitement.
All of that excitement.
Yes.
But yeah, these are the comics we are reading, and we like them.
We like reading comics. So, I think I mentioned this during that wonderful Firefly episode. The current Firefly series, Leaves on the Wind, it's actually very good.
And the current Ghostbusters series is still awesome. I grabbed the sixth trade of that, and I'm like, Egon takes on a ghost train. It's pretty cool.
Takes on a ghost train?
Ghost train. And some Draugr get involved, and they stare them down pretty hard.
I've ordered a copy of this of a book called American Way, which is a Silver Age series that Wildstorms that deals with issues of
race
and stuff.
The X-Men, but not actually allegory, just that stuff kind of thing.
Yeah. So that is en route.
All right. So I guess getting into this Amazon Comixology buyout, because I've been saying nice things about Comixology, and I guess because I do kind of like the service. I like not having to keep track of physical comics.
It was bought recently by Amazon, and there was a little bit of discussion about that.
And part of it is, I guess I'm a little softer on the whole subject because I'm an Android guy, and we did not get the short stick that Apple people did.
Oh, aren't you lucky?
I mean,
so just to go into some detail, Amazon bought Comixology,
which was a smart move
and so they changed the iOS version to remove in-app purchases
because they would have to give 30% of those purchases to Apple, which. Yeah. Amazon does not want to do.
I can understand why.
Well, if you're using the Kindle app, you've experienced a similar issue.
Really?
Yeah, like if you're trying to buy from inside the Kindle app on an iPad, it sort of boots you to the web version of the Kindle store to finish the transaction and then loads back the app. It's a very smooth transition at this point, and Comixology will probably get to that same smoothness. But I'm just like, you know what? I understand not wanting to give Apple 30% of your profit, of your money.
Yes. How much of an inconvenience is that to the readers to have to do that, though?
Well, right now, if you're doing it from inside the app on an iOS device, it is pretty cumbersome. Doing it from inside an Android device is a little easier because there is still... Well, for starters, the mobile version has added a cart, which means I don't have to do it for every single issue. Which is nice, and it just, because I have an account with Comixology, I can just sort of say, yeah, use the same payment information as always, whereas a lot of people who had been, who had come to it from the app first were like, oh man, I have to sign up for a whole new account and set up new payment options. It's like, well, no, you don't have to sign up for a new account, you already had an account, you just have to, you know... Dancer, you just can't use the Google Wallet button anymore. What might be cool is to see if they actually start having things interact with the way they have you know lending over Kindle or even just Amazon Prime memberships incorporated into this somehow. But you know, there's much fairly warranted grousing from the iTunes people, and it's not the end of the world.
I'm not a huge user of comics online because I don't have a tablet and it just doesn't work as well on a phone.
Yeah, no, it does not. It's not fun on a phone when you can't even get a whole panel displayed well.
Yeah. To go back to that item that we're not actually discussing, Empowered, the only book I was unable to find was the first of the mini books, The Wench with a Million Size.
Yeah.
So I bought it on Comixology and I read it. And I was like, actually, I bought it on the Dark Horse app.
Yes, because Dark Horse does not put their shit on Comixology. They have their own app for some dumb reason.
They have their own app, and it must be working for them. Because, you know, it is a common trend. Popular service starts up. Some content producer goes their own way. Content producer realizes this is a waste of their time, goes to popular app. But Dark Horse, still going fine with their own app. Because I'm guessing that, you know, people buy their Mass Effect books and their Star Wars books directly from them, and they're happy with it. Ugh, congestion. Curse you, spring allergies.
But yeah, I'm just generally annoyed that I can't have one spot for everything, so I haven't actually bought any digital Dark Horse stuff through that. I've been buying it through, say, the Google Play Store, which is how I read most of the Airbender comics, which are pretty fun.
They're good. It works well as a big fat book, though.
It does. Like I got an advanced reader copy digitally of the library binding of The Promise, and I'm like, that was not fun as a digital version. All right, so do we have anything else that people should take away from what we're reading in comics?
There's a lot of shit out there to read.
If there's anything that's...
Start reading comics now, because if you don't, you'll never catch up, and you probably won't catch up anyway.
Just find thing. Just if you find something that you think is cool, tell us. We yes. might we'll disagree politely,
or we might be happy to be to have it shared. See, that's the thing. That's what I can't get about these gatekeeping. I hate fangirls type of thing.
Oh, that is so fucking stupid.
If someone likes something, that's good. Even if you don't like it, it's good for people to like things, because you can try it. If they like it and you don't, it's like, that's not for me. And if you do like it, you've gotten something cool. And if they like something that you like, you can tell them about other things that they might like. And, you know, it's like, don't be a
And the things you like aren't better because fewer people haven't read them. It's not how it works.
Yes. There is not a limited amount of enjoyment to be found in any particular artistic piece. Everyone in the world can look at the Mona Lisa, and it will still be an incredible painting.
Still really good. I saw it in a room still full really of people, good. And we all liked it about the same amount.
Yes. Well, there was probably one or two guys who really liked it, but they went to art school.
Yeah, I'm sure the art school guys really liked it. And
oh, look at it. It's like, oh, she's staring right at me and that smile. But it's like, you know, everyone can like things. And you don't have to. Nothing is mandatory, but everything is available. And yes, that includes /fic of me and Scott.
Yes. If it's out there, that's fine. Enjoy your fantasies.
Enjoy it.
If it's not
very... Share it with your friends. Post it to your Tumblr blog.
If it's not very good, criticize them constructively.
Yes, that's the thing. If someone isn't good, tell them how they are, you know, tell them where they can make themselves better. And if they don't read them anymore.
You can stop.
If you don't like something, it's not mandatory. Oh, I'm getting into my rant. I'm sorry.
That's fine.
This can all be cut out later.
Yeah, you say that. Like, I'm not going to do it. Well...
You know what I wish I could catch up on, like, tomorrow?
What?
All the damn Bongo Simpsons comics.
Oh, if there was a Simpsons Unlimited, I would buy that.
I would subscribe to that. If, you know, because, like, the Futurama books, I could never... There are so much story told there, and it's like, there are probably more... There are definitely more Futurama comics than Futurama episodes.
Yeah. I mean, they might have to catch up a little bit. Like, it might... They may have narrowed the gap on Comedy Central. But yeah, I believe that.
Yeah. Hey, are you looking forward to X-Men Days of Future Past?
I am excited for that. Peter Dinklage, man.
I am looking forward to it. That is a classic story. I actually got a copy of the Marvel Masterworks of that episode era of the X-Men, which is, wow, that was, you know, there was that story, and there was the story where Dr. Doom and Arcade kidnapped the X-Men, and otherwise you have Cyclops moping around the Gulf of Mexico. It's just like really cool, really cool. It's like a
and then Cyclops.
Yeah,
like, that's a common theme in X-Men. It's like really cool, and Scott Summers.
I do not hate Scott Summers. I just think that his best stories are not the ones where he's trying to get over Jean Grey by wandering around, which seems to be a thread that I was reading a lot of when I was in my early days, because my first issue of X-Men was issue 151. So.
That was like, you know, right after the big 150th issue where Magneto tries to nuclear blackmail the planet and gets guilty because he almost kills one of his fellow chosen people. Oh, Magneto. But, you know, Cyclops, he was a good leader, except Storm was better. That was the problem. Do you listen to Adam Warrock?
Yes. Not everything, because it seems like he's dropping an EP every other week, but I do like Adam Warrock.
He did a song recently called That Was Cyclops.
Oh, my.
He comes down firmly on Teen Summers, so you might want to listen to it. Put that in the show notes.
Who knows? I will.
But, yes. X-Men Days of Future Past. Looking forward to that. Go read Rat Queens. Go pick up Skull Kickers.
Atomic Robo is also very good. I did a whole episode about it a while back.
Atomic Robo is very cool. And it's very fun. It's very lighthearted.
And again, it's dinosaurs.
Dinosaurs. Evil dinosaurs. I love how, you know, Dr. Dinosaur is always like, this is why I'm here. He's like, that's not how time travel works.
Time travel doesn't work.
Dr. Dinosaur.
Dr. Dinosaur. That guy's awesome.
That guy is awesome. He's just like, he just wants to be taken seriously as a villain. And
he
doesn't realize he can. Oh.
We did miss one book. What? Sex Criminals.
Oh, Sex Criminals.
Last one. Sex Criminals is really good. I don't understand why people are complaining about it being slow. I think there's a lot of cool character stuff going on that I don't necessarily, that I'm way more interested in than the sex police and the bank robbing.
But the bank robbing?
Wow. Yeah.
I love the title of the first trade.
Well, yeah.
Yes. One weird trick.
Well, it is a pretty weird trick.
Yes. But, you know, that's a very clever take on, you know, internet advertising. So, yes. No, Sex Criminals is great and everyone should read it.
Unless you're like 12, then stick to the Airbender comics and Adventure Time for now.
If you are, you know, in your teens, then Sex Criminals might not be something for you. Early teens. And if you're in your early teens, why are you listening to this podcast? We use dirty words.
I have no idea what our age demographics are like.
I thought you were in charge of this shit, man. I thought you had, like, science. Rocking the science on the...
I've got great location data. I've got great, like, you know, I know what systems people are using to listen in. And then I'm like, these people could all be 80 years old. I don't know.
That's part of the wonder of the whole thing. How old are you? Who can tell?
Who can tell? Why do you keep... Why, one guy, do you always listen on your PS3? Why? It's one guy.
One guy listens to it on his PS3. Well, I hope you're enjoying it, Mr. PS3.
I hope
that is a good format for you to listen to podcasts.
Maybe there's something I'm missing by not using my PS3 to listen to it. I will make a point of congratulating you when you upgrade to your PS4, because I will know when it happens if you keep if the PS4 is just as good to listen to podcasts on.
Please leave a comment in the show notes.
Leave a comment. It's a Google Plus thing, but that's still cool, right?
Everyone who listens to this, to the show, leave a comment saying how old you are.
Yes, do that.
Facebook, Google Plus, or on the Blogspot page.
Well, the Blogspot, it just the Google Plus and the Blogspot comments are integrated, like YouTube.
YouTubes.
All right, catch you next time. We'll probably talk about Godzilla.
Yes. Oh, that was so much fun. Have you seen it yet?
No.
Why are you talking to me?
I gotta make some time. Probably Wednesday. Thursday before game? I don't know.
Schnell, go see Godzilla.
All right, I will run to go see Godzilla.
No, won't. Run.
All right, I will.
All right, peace out, kids.
I thought they smelled bad on the outside.
I Thought They Smelled Bad on the Outside is released under an attribution, non-commercial, share-alike 3.0 International Creative Commons license. Please visit our website at sbopodcast.blogspot.com for more episodes as well as social media information. Thank you.